to move on to the clinical part, and I would like to ask my co-moderator, Salvatore, could you elaborate on the rationale for the EVOKE trials and the development of semaglutide in Alzheimer's disease?
Yeah, so I think we already have said, I mean, the basis. I mean, Lode also has carried out a lot of like very interesting and compelling results in the preclinical setting. In addition to that, I think in some of the trials that Tina also was mentioning is about, you know, the same molecule but in different formulations, semaglutide. We've seen actually in these trials, then when you put together all the data we have in this diabetes population, you actually can see a reduction of like almost 50% in the diagnosis of dementia in this different kind of population that are not patients with Alzheimer's. So in addition to that, we have a number of both real-world evidence data, very promising, and small RCT with different GLP-1 receptor agonists. Jens was talking about dulaglutide is one other very important GLP-1 receptor agonist. They show very nice data on reduction in decline of cognitive impairment and many other small things. So I think taking together the preclinical data, the real-world evidence data, the RCT, they are giving us a very promising and compelling story. And that's why we have actually, you know, gone through already to phase III with the EVOKE trials and not gone through all the phases in development because we know very well the drug. It's a very well-established safety profile. And we decided to just go to these like two large main trials, the EVOKE and EVOKE Plus. There are more than 3,600 patients included there. I want to also ask Lode because she also has been the mastermind behind, so please.
I think you mentioned all of the everything, all the different kinds of evidence. Perhaps we could just mention that for dulaglutide, they actually predefined a cognitive questionnaire based on the MoCA, I think it was. So that actually is a strong piece of evidence in 10,000 patients. Obviously, that was with diabetes, but then we have all these other bits of pieces of evidence that all kind of point in the same direction. But we do not have a classical phase II dose-finding study in Alzheimer's because when we looked at that, we realized it probably would have to be as big as a phase III trial. So we might as well say, you know, we have two phase III trials. One of them actually allow for vascular disease also, but they are both kind of classical amyloid-based Alzheimer's disease trials.
I think one lesson that we learned from Alzheimer clinical trials is over the years that there is a certain point within the disease, a point of no return, where you cannot expect anymore that you will really be able to modify the progression of the disease. One very important question that I have, additional question is, what do you think until when this kind of mechanism can really make a change? Or in other words, what kind of patients might show the most benefit from this kind of treatment? Early on, later on?
Yeah, that's a really, really difficult question.
I can try to make an analogy to the heart, if I may, because I still believe that the vascular thing is an important one. So in the heart, if you have an established heart failure condition, the GLP-1s do not help. That was thought for a while. We thought that it would have fantastic effects on pumping action of the heart and all that. That turns out not to be true. So once you have heart failure, you cannot do anything with a GLP-1 receptor agonist. But what you can do is you can prevent them from happening. So we know that now from the meta-analysis, there is a significant reduction in the risk of developing heart failure while you're on therapy. So it's probably the same, you know. It's about getting there early and prevent the damage. Because once the damage has happened, then it's difficult. And also, if you look at the mechanism via GLP-1 receptor and cyclic AMP and all that, how on earth should it remove a big calcification or a big damage to? So it doesn't do that. It's not a growth factor. Not there, at least. But to prevent it from happening, that's something. That's where I would put my money.
So the obvious answer is, of course, to say early always makes more sense because it's unlikely precisely that you can revert neurodegeneration, right? So okay, early, but isn't
it's,
that
it's
isn't
really
generally
important to
true?
Clarify that.
But it's difficult because how early should you then go? Because the progression of Alzheimer's disease is complicated. But there is actually one, what you call the investigator-initiated trial in pretty late Alzheimer's disease with the liraglutide that showed some interesting results. It was probably not powered enough, but what we discussed when that was published, it didn't see significant effects really on the primary endpoint, was that it was probably too late. So I fully agree early, as early as possible, but how early then is probably more up to people like you who work with Alzheimer's disease to decide. But to change the life story, it would probably be as early as possible.
Can I do something that, you know, I think people have not been doing for many, many years? Contradict Jens Ulholst.
Oh!
I will try. So I don't want to contradict
please,
like fully, but I would just underline that, you know, we're actually doing like a trial with semaglutide and heart failure, and especially the preserved ejection fraction. So it's ongoing, it's called STEP-FPEP.
I know.
So you just don't believe in that. It's very interesting.
And you know, it's fine that you're optimistic still, but you know, the enthusiasm around 2005 regarding the pumping action on the heart. And there were several studies, even clinical studies, showing, whoa, but
it's not true. Will liraglutide?
No, GLP-1 infusions. And,
oh, yeah. Okay.
Not necessarily the agonist.
We'll and it is also, I guess, in the heart failure with preserved ejection fraction is like, I think at around that time, we were just more saying, oh, heart failure, we put them all in the same box.
Exactly.
And now we more have these two different pathophysiologies. I don't know if that's correct. I think there's also some people who are skeptic around whether HFpEF is a disease or it's just a syndrome, right?
Yeah.
But
But you're right. I agree.
So let's just wait a little bit.
Well done.
You're still hopeful. Good.
You're brave now.
Okay. Moving from type 2 diabetes trials to Alzheimer's research with semaglutide, what are your thoughts on the EVOKE trials from the endocrinologist perspective?
Well, I think it's really interesting. We know that patients with diabetes have more Alzheimer's disease, but I'm really looking forward to have this. I mean, see the results from the EVOKE trial. It's with oral semaglutide, which is really, really interesting that you can actually give a peptide orally. From Novo Nordisk's side, it was said that it's easier for the patients with Alzheimer's to take a tablet than an injection. That's probably right. It's really interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing the data. We know from the clinic that patients can actually, what do you say, cheat about their memory. And in diabetes, it's a huge problem because they can compensate, not cheat, but compensate for their memory loss at an early point. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. And again, as Lotte said, it doesn't induce hypoglycemia. It has overall positive effects with many things, weight, blood pressure, cholesterol, and so on. So, I mean, worst case scenario for Novo, you could say, is that it doesn't change the life story of Alzheimer's disease, but I'm very, very confident that it will not have or harm patients with Alzheimer's disease. So I really believe that it will be a beneficial effect.
And you have to titrate, right?
You have to titrate.
To manage the gastrointestinal side effects.
But can I ask you maybe, you know, just a topic that Tina brought up here about the oral tablet as compared to many other drugs investigated in Alzheimer's. Do you think it's a true advantage for people living with Alzheimer, or how do you see it?
Yes, I mean, this is what we already learned from the earliest trials testing acetylcholine esterase inhibitors, that the tablets per se are preferred, I would say, by Alzheimer's disease patients. This is what we learned, and it's also very easy for the caregivers to handle that. Yeah, I would say this is suitable.